to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Well, welcome back to Saxon Giants. I'm coming out. It's Matt Weber on the phone. SP Futures up a quarter. Dow Futures unchanged. This is a bad morning here. And NASDAQ Futures unchanged as well. So we've got a fucking seriously flat here. Over in Asia, we've got big down move in the Nikkei. But other than that, they're pretty steady as well. So, Lou, how are you, bud?
Good morning, sir.
What's the good word? I see you're... I don't even begin to where this guy is headed. When are we going to get the straitjacket? Trump accuses FBI officials who investigated him of treason.
I'm with the president.
Okay, treason.
Yep.
You know what? Sometimes I worry about you when I don't talk to you for a week, and then it takes me a while to bring you back into the rest of the world.
No. Let me. This is something I've been saying for probably the last year. Is that the more I looked at that thing. And treason is a very harsh word.
Yeah.
So I measured my response for a long time before I started, I started thinking that way. But the more that this, the more evidence we get on this thing, the more that this looks like a concerted attempt to overturn and remove a legitimately elected president of the United States. And again, I'm not a fan of Mr. Trump, but to remove a legitimately elected president of the United States by scurrilous or false means, and I want accountability, and so I'm not averse to having this whole thing tunneled through, and these people identified, and chased. And I'm including people like Brennan and the other officials that were involved in the construction of that self-licking ice cream cone that was the Mueller investigation.
So we forget about the 35 indictments. What about kind of starting at any advice?
The indictments are meaningless. Listen, Mueller is a prosecutor. He's going to indict, and if you look at his tactics in the Enron investigation. He's going to move forward with all haste at all speed. He'll indict people for whatever, but there's nothing prosecutable in this thing.
Which is what he said.
And there was no basis for these claims. The president was and the people around him in before he was elected, after during the electoral process, and afterwards. The folks that were surrounding this thing were engaged in first the weaponizing of our intelligence agencies for use against a political opponent, which I don't know if it's unprecedented. I don't know if the FBI has ever been used that way before, or the NSA, but it's the first time I've known about it, I think that I can recall in my lifetime. I want people's heads for this.
Well, I think you're a tad too prejudiced on this. I've never heard of a man in a national debate imploring the leader of another country to hack his opponent's emails.
He wasn't imploring,
why you and I have been friends for a long time. If I told one whopper ever to you, like this guy tells every friggin' day, you wouldn't be my friend, and yet everybody defends this bleep.
I'm not defending the president. I am much more horrified. I could not care less who the ultimate target of this thing was. I'm not a fan of the president, and he makes the situation worse. But he did not implore. I mean, I can go back and look at it. It's a very complicated issue.
Mr. Putin, please hack her emails.
We're probably not going to be able to discuss it in full here. But the bottom line, as I read the narrative anyway, is that in advance of the election, during the campaign, and maybe it's because the Obama people realized what a terrible candidate Hillary Clinton was. I don't know. But during, in advance of the election, officials within that administration were engaged in the use of NSA wiretaps and FBI wiretaps against that campaign on a completely phony basis that, more importantly, they knew was a phony basis. This is not a situation where you had somebody taken for a ride in a you know, complete mistaken judgment, like the weapons of mass destruction in the Iraq war. I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt on stuff like that. This was a
lunar
intelligence operation run on the basis of phony information.
I am not. I am not going to ever defend the Clinton group. You know that. Matter of fact, it's possible they could be worse. It's very possible. But we talked about, I mean, this guy came up, to me, this investigation, coming up with the conclusion it did. Not only that, it was my prediction, so I guess I like where he came out with. To me, the system somewhat works. I mean, they came out and said that, right where I thought they'd be, but the people had... His people danced around the head of the you know, they were the fat people on the head of the pin. They had 100 and some meetings with Russian people where Russian guys were offering stuff, and either they were too dumb or didn't realize what they were being offered. He says there's no evidence they took it, that they acted on it. Okay, fine. That's why you leave the thing where it is. You don't indict anybody. You don't impeach anybody, and you go on. Where am I wrong?
If in fact this was operated in a good faith basis like that, I would have said yes. But that's not what the
evidence shows.
You've got high ranking people in the FBI who were involved in this investigation and who were directing it, who for political reasons, basically said we are going to prevent this guy from being elected, and if he's elected, we're going to get him out of there.
It might have something to do with the fact that he does nothing but insult people that are good people on an hourly basis.
I don't care.
Well, I do.
Absent some kind of he's an awful character. His character is terrible. I freely admit it. You know, he is not somebody I would have voted for. He may provoke exactly that reaction in people. It doesn't matter.
It shouldn't matter.
You had people in positions of responsibility who were using the levers of government, of the intelligence agencies.
Okay, Lou, but why don't
we... This to me is borderline terrifying. This is a 7 days in May situation.
Lou, why doesn't... I mean, I how does this... How can I say this? Because, by the way, it's not like I'm disagreeing with you.
No, I know. This is a discussion. Sorry.
How do you separate what, quote, happened to Trump from what happened to what's her name? The lady that went to jail that should have got spanked at the convent. The cook,
Martha Stewart.
How do you separate what happened to Martha Stewart, where she pissed off the investigators? How do you separate what happened to Rod Blagojevich because he obviously pissed somebody off to try the guy twice and one time where they didn't have any money? I mean, these guys have had this, you know, let's put it this way: the bureaucracy has gone amok. I know it's hard for people to figure out what I'm talking about half the time. I get it. Lou, don't you realize that the 90% or 80% of the theme of this show for me is trying to show people how the bureaucracy is basically out of control. This is.
I don't have any, and I think that backs up. I think that backs up my position.
But at least this guy Mueller, with all the rotten things they said about him. I mean, but I'm from the South Side. I know that you don't. People have a long memory, maybe because I'm half Irish. But I mean, you don't accuse the FBI of being. You know, this guy Comey had a pretty good career, and immediately the guy's a crook in his eyes. He tries to get him to take the vow to the leader, which this guy's been doing since he's been in there, which to me is abhorrent. Where everybody he appoints seems to take a thing to him. The last guy did that. We died in a bunker, for God's sake. I mean, that you don't do that in this country. Yet this guy does. So the fact that he's pissed a few people along the way, I'm not a bit surprised. They don't feel like treating him all that well. I mean, to me, this is not a shock.
this is something though. The thing that I find so disturbing is the construction of the justification that they needed to open up the FBI investigation. The justification that they used to unmask people that were the subject of NSA wiretaps, that started with the Obama people. And I'm
Lewis,
as I said,
started with
I want accountability on this.
How's it different than?
And I agree. I understand what you're saying about the issue of prosecutorial discretion. You've got a classic example of how that gets misused running in Chicago right now. By the way, I want to talk about what's going on there. But I'm not going to step away from the fact that this is. Strikes me, this whole thing has struck me for at least the last year as an extremely dangerous
How about if I do this? Let me take 2 minutes to explain to you what happened to me yesterday at the license bureau.
Oh, God. Which one? DMV or something? Because you have
Secretary
licenses
of State.
In Chicago for everything.
Secretary of State. So, I mean, this is just a lighthearted sort of thing. But it did give me a new chapter in my book, No Good Deed Goes Unpunished, right?
So okay.
I get my thing, I get my notice in the mail that I need a new sticker on the license plates, but I've got so many stickers on there, they must have realized I've had these licenses, you know, since God was a pup. So they said, oh, you should get you're gonna get new plates this year. Okay, so send this in, or go online and pay for it. I go, you know what, now that I'm becoming this real high-tech sort of dude, I'm gonna go online, I'm gonna do this. I said, but you know what? I feel generous. I'm going to get one of these. What does it take to get one of these other plates? Like a police plate or an I&M Canal plate?
A vanity plate?
No. There's vanity plates, there's personal plates, and then there's just different license plates.
Okay.
So, in other words, if you wanted to get an I&M Canal commemorative plate, you pay $25 to the I&M Canal group,
okay, yeah,
and you just
okay.
get the plate. All right.
Ducks Unlimited.
Organ donors, there's Blackhawks, Cubs, it goes to Cubs Care, you know, that kind of thing.
There are no White Sox plates.
So. Oh, yeah. It goes to White Sox Care or whatever.
How many of those are there?
I don't know. Maybe more this year to get a little better team. But the then I go to buy the darn thing online. Of course, it was way too complicated because the thing you're supposed to fill out is sideways on the page. So how the hell do you do that? And then I go to pay for it with my American Express, which I have sent to work, which, you know, I don't care if I tell people that. They say, well, first it's 2.5% if you pay by credit card. How the hell are you not supposed to pay by credit card online? And then they say, well, we're going to change your home address to the billing address on the card. Why? I don't want my home address being my PTI address. Why would I do that? So I'm 90% through the process online. I go, screw it. I'll just go to the place. So yesterday I get there. There's nobody around. I get this lady, and I said, look, I was thinking about getting one of these police plates. You know, my dad was a policeman. It's $25 to the police benefit for, you know, fallen officers or retired or something. Police Retirement Association. I can do that. She goes, oh, yeah, but you got to fill all this stuff out. She brings out, like, three forms. And then she says, she rattles off, like, eight things that I'm supposed to be. Either a current policeman, which I'm not. But this is a weird one. Immediate family of a living retired policeman. I said, what about if he's dead? Oh, that doesn't count. You can't. So if your father is a policeman and he dies, all of a sudden you can't get the plate for that reason. So when you get to the bottom, there's one that says basically just an independent donor, which I am because I don't qualify for any other stuff, but now it's $50. And I say, okay, you know, in for an ounce, in for a pound, as they say in England. And so she goes, all right, I'll fill all this stuff out and bring it back. So, of course, now she's full. And I go down to this other guy, and he goes, well, you got to get approved. Approved
God,
as what?
I love Illinois.
Well, approved as what? Because you're trying to get a police plate. It says right there, I'm not a policeman, I'm just a donator. Yeah, but you still got to go get approved, but it's right down the block. Where is it? Well, it's 147 West Washington.
White, right down the block?
Yeah.
You've got to go out to another building?
Well, it gets worse. I go, it's not 147, it looks like 1407. It's like down by Ashland Avenue. And he goes, well, yeah, but there's a Washington bus. I said, let me get this straight. All I am is giving you my $50. Here's my $50. What are they going to prove me as? Do I have to be white? Do I got to be black? Do I got to be old? What's the approval process for being a donator? I don't know, but you got to get approved. I said, well, if I went out there, if, can I, can they just send it in from there? Oh, no, you got to bring it back. But we're open till 5. And I go, you gotta be kidding me. In order to give these guys $50, they have to approve me, whatever the hell that means, and I got to come back and do the whole thing again from here. Well, yeah. And I said, well, what if I don't do any of this stuff? Well, then you'll just get your old plate number in the mail. And I go, well, why don't we do this? So get a load of this, Lou. They give me a temporary sticker, right, until the plates show up in the mail. And I'm thinking they must have something unique on this sticker that tells people when it expires or something. Guess what the sticker has on it?
Fraternal Order of Police. I don't know.
The word, the letter T. That's the sticker. You and I could have done that on a copy machine.
I got a. Huh. That's pretty funny.
So this is my morning. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? So now I got this huge stack of stuff I filled out, and I have to go get approved somewhere, I'm sure, from 9 to 5 on a weekday, so how the hell am I going to get out there? I just say the hell with it. I mean, why would I have to be... Anyway, so every place I touch the bureaucracy, it's self-serving, it's incompetent. Why does it surprise me that if you insult the hell out of the FBI, they don't like you very much? I mean, why is this a shock?
I get that. That's not a reason to
I didn't say it was a reason. I said it's
with some type of investigation.
Well, I mean, how long did Kenneth Starr screw around with his? Because the guy got oral sex in the office?
Kenneth Starr had, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, Kenneth Starr at least ended up with felony evidence against the president. I thought the Starr investigation, as salacious as it was, I thought the idea of the Starr investigation was completely nuts. And of course, Starr was not a special counsel. He was an independent counsel, which is even worse. So yeah, I'm not... The whole process I have problems with from top to bottom. But at its heart, I look at this as a coup attempt.
Well, I don't... And, this whole part, Lou, that and this has become... Because their guy won. The Trumpers is, you can be, because I've seen this happen here in Illinois, which is to me, my representative, okay, I have a little area in what they call it, Triangle Square or something, it's, the whole district is essentially African American, West Side, and they reach in with a little finger and grab, you know, I want to say about 1,000 essentially white votes that can't do anything, because it's only 1,000, you know, so it's pretty much useless. So my guy was a guy that, now get a load of this, he gets booted out, his black guy gets booted out of the state senate. How you manage to bleep up so bad to get booted out of the state senate, I have no idea. So they boot him out for cause, you know, I don't know what he was stealing.
This is the guy that was taking bags of money, right?
Yeah, or something, whatever.
Paper bags of money. If this is the case I'm thinking of, this is the guy who was actually handed a grocery bag, paper bag full of 20s.
Something like that, yeah. Well, they boot him out.
Okay, so that's a pretty good reason to throw somebody out.
Well, but
not by an exchange for a bribe.
But if you run again and you win the election, then they can't throw you out again for the same thing twice, even though you broke all their rules. The idea of the Trumpkins, and I'm not accusing you of being one, that somehow or another, no matter what you did before, if you're an axe murderer, that if you win an election, somehow the public is all knowing and knew all this crap, and their vote could count. No, I don't buy that at all. And I will say this. If ever a campaign showed incredibly poor judgment by meeting with all these people, and everybody he hired that ended up in jail...
Oh, you're not going to get any arguments from me on that either. I actually made this point either on social media or somebody I read did. But one of the advantages of the Mueller investigation is that he cleaned out some really bad actors that the president had surrounded himself with. I mean, this Cohen, that guy, and you know, General Flynn was not smart about what he did, and he cleaned all these people out, and I'm going, good, okay, those guys are gone. At least that got identified. That's the benefit of it.
Is there any truth to the rumor? One of my allegedly close, not to me, but a Washington insider kind of guy said that one of the things that Obama did allegedly for Trump was that when he left a note on the White House, on the Oval Office desk, and in the note was, do not, under any circumstances, hire this Flynn guy. He's just a real bad guy, and you can't trust him.
I don't know if he left him a note, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit if that was the advice. Flynn was crossways with the Obama people for some time. Speaking about guys who irritate people in positions of authority.
Yeah.
Flynn was crossways, but he was crossways with the defense establishment in a number of
right.
ways. And I, you know, he, if I remember right, and again, I'm not really as prepared to talk on this subject as I probably could be. But if I remember right, he attended some dinner with Vladimir Putin.
He was a speaker
and his people, and was you know, being feted by the Russian government. And I remember when I saw that report, I thought, what are you doing, man?
Well, you know what, Lou? Somebody, one of our listeners, the reason why we both saw that, one of our listeners sent that to us, and Maddie sent it out to everybody. He was giving a speech somewhere in Russia, and he was sitting at Putin's table.
We saw it on Socks and Jocks, but I remember reading about it, thinking, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
So, I was, quite frankly, I was surprised at the fact that they moved him into that hierarchy, but you know. Look at some of the people that were in the mix here. You know, Bannon and these other guys. I mean, there are some people with really questionable worldviews, and I'm glad they're not part of the administration. I'm glad they're not close to the president.
Is there any chance?
Maybe the guys that are coming in now are a little bit saner.
Is there any chance that
that doesn't change what happened?
Okay, but is there any chance that I'm falling into this view? Because once in a while. You got to stop fighting about something. I was listening to I can't tell which from the other now because I remember the answers. I don't know who asked the question. I watched Meet the Press and Face the Nation, and one of the guys was on there, and he was he basically said the guy came out with essentially a fair report and did not recommend stuff. Wasn't a witch hunt at the end. He said this could never happen anywhere else in the world. You know, might be, maybe in Britain, I think it could, but. He says, couldn't happen in Venezuela, couldn't work. We investigated a company, we came out with a conclusion, there's basically nothing here. Except for, I think he did fire Comey and a couple other guys because he'd do anything to save himself. I mean, he's a total narcissist. I mean, it's not like he wouldn't do it. But they said, it came out and this thing's going nowhere. I mean, in here, there was reason to do it, and guess what? The guy spent a lot of time, and despite the amount of abuse Trump put on the guy, you know, it's a witch hunt, and he's this, and he's that, which I've never... That's so unprecedented. Just because we're used to it with this guy doesn't make it right, Lou. And
I'm gratified that Mr. Mueller, apparently played it straight. I'm gratified to see that. That doesn't excuse what happened below. And again, the big difference for me, Chief, and I would have been willing to excuse. This whole thing, if in fact these were good faith efforts to investigate something that was widely believed and mistakenly believed to be true, that's not what you got here.
Well, I don't know where it stops, and I'm not. You know more about this than me, and I'm going to say that probably this maybe didn't need to happen. Okay, I don't know. I mean, I'm not as close to it, maybe, in some of the stuff as you are, but I tell you what: if you and I, it's sort of like the, I'm not going to talk about the Chicago police stuff. When you start out your night, you know, robbing stores and bullying people around and stopping cars in streets, there's a chance that your night doesn't end well. And when you start your campaign accusing the guy next to you, even though I'm not a big fan of his father being one of the guys who killed Kennedy and God knows what. I mean, when you start doing stuff there's a chance.
You're not going to get any arguments from me on that.
I mean, there's a chance that somebody might decide to investigate you when maybe you shouldn't be investigated or something. And to assume that all these other people that you're insulting and you're ruining their lives or trying to, that all of a sudden they're just going to take it and walk away. I think that's so insane, Lou. I mean, if I really did something horrible to somebody and 5 years later they found a way to come do something to me, I wouldn't be shocked.
I understand what you're saying, but my response is simply this: you do not, and I don't care what the circumstances are, you do not go the direction that these folks went, using the federal intelligence agencies to engage in basically what is effectively a campaign to thwart the results of the Electoral College, and that's what you had here. That's what it looks like to me.
Well, they've never really gone there,
and I freely admit I could be wrong.
Well, they've never really.
I am much more concerned about that than I am about the president's character.
I'm going to ask you this: if this guy loses, do you think he's going to leave?
Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll walk out of there.
You think so?
Oh yeah. Why would he not?
He's going to say it's all crooked and everything. I think this guy has real dictatorial tendencies. I think he has a real problem.
I think you could say that about pretty much any president that was elected. The problem with the president, I mean, he's got a lot of problems, but he is not somebody who is political in the sense that he's a very effective persuader, but he's not political in the sense that he's got some kind of ideology driving him. And he is an outsider, and that, quite frankly, is one of the reasons why these people were campaigning to get him removed.
That's why I'm so pissed off at him, is he is an outsider. He's exactly what I wanted for all these years, and now he's bleeping it up by being his own self. S&P futures down 2, Dow futures down 29. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ellis, Mr. Matt Weber, Mr. Will Michaels on the phone. S&P futures, first of all, yesterday, we ended up down 32 in the Dow, down 13 in the S&P, 48 in the NASDAQ, as we keep this up and down, moving around all over the place. It's good for trading, but it's, I think it's kind of rough on the investors. But S&P futures today up or down 4, NASDAQ futures down 10.50, Dow futures down 29. This is so far. Over in Europe, we've got, again, Europe's been pretty slow. DAX up 20.2%, FTSE up 30.4%, CAC around down 1, call that flat. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei, which has been wildly volatile here the last few days. It was down 600, up 450, now down 344, 1.6%. Shanghai down 27, that's a full percent. Hang Seng up 46.3%, so a little bit of a mixed bag there as well. Oil, which has kind of been all over the black now, 58.63, after being 60 bucks a couple days ago. That's down 78 cents. Brent down 73 cents. RBOB gas down 4 cents, but 185, and we're up over 280 a lot of places here, even in the burbs here in the area, so it's getting, gas is creeping up. I mean, this number was 135, I'm going to say, December 1st. That's 50 cents, or, you know, whatever, 40% in not a very long time. Gold, we got gold down 6 bucks, 13.10. Silver down 10 cents. They get up there and they come right back down. But it still stays above 1300, so I guess it's building a base or something. Matty, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a great start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. No issues across the board. Eden's looking great. Same with the Kennedy. No traffic significance on the Eisenhower or Stevenson. Southside Expressway is looking good, too. We have one accident in the entire area, and it's out in the northwestern suburbs out near Streamwood. Army Trail Road at Route 59. There is a crash. Everything else looking great out there. Weather today, we could have some sunshine early, mild temperatures, and then some spotted showers throughout the area, and then the temperatures start to fall this evening. We'll go up to a high of 58, so a little cooler than yesterday, but still very pleasant and slightly above normal. Right now it's mostly clear and 49 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 86 today. Right now it's clear and 56. In sports, the Bulls started a lineup that no one would recognize last night, and they were blown out at home by the Blazers, 118-98. Lauri Markkanen's been shut down for the season, same with Wendell Carter Jr. Zach LaVine could possibly be shut down as well. All those guys were out last night, and Bulls blown out by the Blazers by 20. Suns lost to the Wizards, 124-121. In hockey, Blackhawks and Coyotes were both off. College hoops, DePaul won again last night. They beat Coastal Carolina 92-87 in the semifinals of the CBI tournament. So they'll take on the winner of South Florida and Loyola Marymount for the championship. And it's a best of three championship series for the winner of the CBI. So congrats to DePaul for keeping their season alive. Of course, NCAA tournament action returns this evening. Purdue and Michigan, both area teams of note that will return their tournament runs. And of course, it's opening day in Major League Baseball today. All three teams of note are in action. The Cubs are in Texas to take on the Rangers. That's a 3:05 Chicago time first pitch. Lester versus Minor in that one. White Sox are at Kansas City. They'll take on the Royals at 3:15 local time. Carlos Rodon takes the bump for the White Sox against Brad Keller of the Royals. And the Diamondbacks are at the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's a 2 p.m. Arizona first pitch. It'll be Greinke versus Rue.
Chief. What, Cubs and Sox are opening on the same day next week?
I think that's right, yeah.
That ever happened before?
I don't think that's ever happened. Not that I remember. I mean, not that
not
I remember.
I remember either. I think it's nice to the both of them on the road and try and cut a week of the Chicago weather out of it.
But they've been doing that. I mean, last year I think the Cubs played their first something like six or seven games on the road.
You know, the Sox opened up in Minnesota. How'd that work out?
Well, that didn't work out.
They're doing that. They're doing that out here too. The Rockies, of course. Yesterday we were 70. Today we'll be, you know, upper 60s. But you know, the biggest snow month here in Denver is March and April, and so yeah, I've always wondered why they allow teams to in places like Minnesota and Milwaukee and, you know, to operate when they rebuild their stadiums, to operate without the ability to put a dome over them, and that this is an example of why.
You got the couple hundred million dollars for the dome to lend them. I know you do.
Yeah. But if I were MLB, I'd tell you, if you want to put a stadium up in a place like Minnesota, and we're playing in March, you're going to put a dome on the thing.
Just wear one of those new jackets that costs $1,000.
Oh, the
Canadian Goose,
Canada Goose, or whatever
yeah,
they're called.
Yeah.
I must admit, the Canadian geese that I see wandering around here look quite comfortable in bad weather.
I will say this. We pulled into the Dunkin' Donuts one morning. Maybe were you with, was it you or Jay-Z that morning?
And, I was with you.
And the lady has a Canadian Goose in front of us, and I'm thinking, wow. And I was mentioning to Maddie, that's his girlfriend's size. We could bop her and take it, and it'd be a nice present for her. Turns out she,
and that actually was going on in Chicago.
Oh yeah, well, got you. So she ends up, the lady pulls out a credit card, buys a $25 gift thing, and I'm going, what the hell is she doing that for at this hour in the morning? She turned around and gave it to this homeless guy. So she was very nice. So my thoughts of people wearing those things now have totally changed, Lou.
Well, speaking of things that are going on in Chicago and that happened in Chicago, I'm fascinated to watch what's happening with your state's attorney.
You couldn't
Ms. Fox and Jussie Smollett.
She recused herself. She's out of it.
Oh yeah. I'm sure.
Why? Why did she recuse herself?
Believe that.
Well, I mean, what are they, boyfriend, girlfriend? Why did she recuse herself?
Does anybody know? As I understand it, she recused herself because the Michelle Obama's former chief of staff called her and said, hey, we're friends with this guy, or something equivalent to this. We're friends with this guy or his family.
This is Valerie Jarrett.
And we want to, this isn't Jarrett, this is Chen.
Okay.
We're friends with this guy. Jarrett, I'm sure, was in the middle of this somewhere, but we're friends with this guy, and we'd really think this needs to be moved from Chicago PD, where, as former federal people, we don't have as much influence, to the FBI, where we got a lot of influence. And so Fox tried to do that. She called us. She said that her reply text indicated that she'd gone to McDonald and said, you know, you guys need to drop this case and give it to the FBI because it's a federal charge. Let them run with it. And at that point, she then recused herself. Why the state's attorney would think that was an appropriate thing to do under any circumstances is crazy. But the idea that there was no influence exercised, watch how fast this is like the Ryan situation with the Obama, when Obama was running for senator, where suddenly things magically appear or disappear out of the Cook County courthouse. The record was sealed on apparently an oral motion by the defense team, which is unheard of. You don't do that. They sealed the record, but they didn't realize, the defense people did not realize that the just sealing the court record would not allow the Chicago police to release the case file under a Freedom of Information Act request. So the first release of information got out, and then the defense people and the city officials realized, oh my God, they can get the rest of the file. And so the judge issued a gag order. And again, these are all public records. This is a public case.
Who's the judge?
Pardon me?
Who's the judge?
I don't know. But the judge issued what is effectively a gag order.
Matty, see if we can find out the name of the judge.
Prohibiting them from doing this.
Here's my for those that don't know, I don't know the full details of this thing, but I read a timeline last night knowing that Lou would probably not want to talk about it.
By the way, let me say that this null pros option, which is an option in these cases where they just elect not to prosecute, I don't think it's that uncommon for things like misdemeanors. A 16 count felony indictment? No.
Well, let's for people who don't know anything about this, there's a guy, he's on,
like me,
he's on this TV show, right? Emerald or Emperor or something.
Empire.
And he's openly gay, right? I think. Which, you know, I don't have an issue with, and I don't think anybody else does either. Well, some
Not
people
that
there's
do. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
That's
so,
right.
Somehow or another, this letter gets sent to him where somebody says they're going to, like, kill him, right? Because he's black and gay or some story like that.
That was the first
iteration. And then these two guys allegedly mug him and rough him up.
That did not get, and again, the way the case has been laid out by the Chicago cops and was laid out apparently in front of the grand jury was, and what the FBI is investigating, is that letter was from him.
Yeah.
From the guy himself, from Mullen himself.
Well, then,
in an attempt to get attention.
To get attention.
For him to renegotiate his contract.
And then he ends up, essentially, the story is, paying these two guys to, like, fake mug him, right?
Yes. To set up, fake a hate crime.
Yeah, so...
Two guys wearing Make America Great Again hats and yelling, this is MAGA country, as they assaulted him. Yeah.
And so that's how the police got involved.
After he's walking out of a subway at 2 a.m., he's apparently beaten badly.
Yeah.
They put a noose around his neck.
They showed him a picture.
He didn't lose his sandwich.
Yeah.
That stayed with him. And his cell phone stayed with him. And the surveillance cameras showed him out of surveillance video view for less than 60 seconds or about 60 seconds. And then the cops started saying, hey, he said my agent was on the phone while this was all going on and he could hear them. And the agent said, yeah, that's right. So the cop said, show us your phone. Let's get us your phone. Maybe there's something on there. And he goes, oh, I'm not giving you my phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it fell apart. The whole story fell apart. They have a check that this guy wrote to these two Nigerian extras on the Empire set.
Yeah.
Paying them for this.
Well, so then the police and the police superintendent, who I like, I don't know if he's perfect, but I like him, well, he shouldn't be perfect. I'm not perfect. But the point being is, now he is totally pissed off because of all the resources and everything they devoted to this thing. So they hit him up with what's the charge? It's sort of like if you call 911 and there's no reason or something.
Making a false report, but he got tagged. I mean, they threw the book at him.
Yeah.
He got tagged with the grand jury. He got tagged with 16 felony counts.
What would they have been?
False report of crime, false report of a hate crime. I mean, a bunch of stuff. And this kid, this actor, the Smollett, was stirring up some stuff on this.
Oh God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, real.
He was really working the order, as they say on the floor. He was working the order. So all of a sudden, out of the blue, case drop, file sealed, and I'm like, wait a minute, I can't wait to talk to Brendan or Lou. How the hell does that happen?
Not just out of the blue. They waited until graduation day at the police academy, when all of the CPD officials were all tied up. They then went in, and some somebody that works directly for Fox, the state's attorney, who had already tried to influence the case and shut it down. The state's attorney then very quickly pulled the charges. Dismissed the charges. Did not make an announcement about it. As I said, did it when the cops were all tied up. The CPD structure was all tied up, so there could be no immediate response, and they wouldn't be able to respond until the deed was done. Not only pulled the charges inexplicably, but then went back with no written motion or anything else, sealed the record, and then issued a gag order. This is so Chicago. It's not even subtle, you know?
Yeah, we're talking about subtle. I still don't know where it is. Where is it?
Where's what?
I mean, it's just gone. Oh, this is like
the prosecutors have this kind of discretion. I mean, this is like an example of prosecutorial discretion going in the other direction. And I'm not trying to say that you know this is some horrible event because it's Jesse Smollett. I'm saying this is an example of the kind of stuff that you just talked about with the license,
yeah,
the DMV. And it's a classic example of what happens when you centralize power like this in these folks. This is cronyism. It's
Lou. I don't see, and it's starting to really sort of bug me because obviously people know I care. I wouldn't do this every morning. I don't see a way out of it, Lou. I honestly don't see a way where somehow or another we're going to get. The only way I used to see out of it was to have essentially a third-party president that had some personality, could get other people behind him, and actually totally rock the boat in a proper way, and put some real people in charge of some of these places that can actually straighten them out, the veterans and those kinds of things. And I don't see how that now happens in my lifetime. I mean, no matter what happens, unless Trump miraculously gets slapped with a ruler by the nun and sees the light, and turns the bus around, which I don't see happening. I don't see how we ever get to any progress here in the next 8 years. I don't see how we do. I honestly don't. As much as it may not sound like it, I try to be the glasses half full kind of guy. I don't see where the hell we're going with this. Now we got some mayor here. I hope she does a great job. I don't see anything bad about her. The idea that she all of a sudden, with her background, has any idea how to run this city? Where we're going now the lowest common denominator. Let's pick the guy off my softball team that can't even make out a lineup and make him the commissioner of the league because anybody can do it. No, you can't. I mean, which isn't to say she's not bright enough to learn and maybe she'll. I hope she surprises and puts some really good people around her. But it's another example of we're not voting for her. We're voting against Tony Preckwinkle, who nobody likes.
I think that's sort of an odd way that's what happened with the President Trump.
Absolutely. I mean, I was talking to a couple of attorneys, talk about interesting people. At the end of the day, they said, "I am so tired of voting against somebody. I can barely stand it." Like the last 10 elections I've gone to, I voted against somebody because that's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Our body politic is not producing. And hasn't for some, maybe it hasn't for some time, but given the relentless social media and mainstream media exposure that people get now, we are getting a much better picture of the kind of people that we're looking at. And so even the moderate in this election, in the presidential run right now on the Democrat side, and Klobuchar is not that moderate, even the moderate in this thing is exposed as being kind of a horrible person. And, you know, at that stage, you kind of go, yeah, I don't want another horrible person. All the Democrats have to do is not be crazy, is not come up and go off the rails in terms of a counter candidate, somebody who's normal. But look at who they're running.
But, Lou, anybody can run. Everybody thinks now that they can be this... What's her name? AOC thinks she can be dictator tomorrow. She's as bad as Trump the other way.
I think that's true. Although I will say, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm a sucker for guys who are, you know, really smart and who are veterans. And this Buttigieg gentleman out of South Bend, and I'm not a fan. The South Bend government, by the way, is practically communist as far as I can tell, because I've litigated cases down there. But Buttigieg sounds like a rational human being. And whether he can get through the primaries, I don't know, but he strikes me as a candidate that if the Democrats were to run him tomorrow, I think a lot of people would look at him and go, okay, you're a progressive, but you're not nuts. I'd vote for you. He gave a great, I thought he gave for a Democratic candidate with the various constituencies, I thought he gave a great remark the other day. I mean, again, he just sounds like he's intelligent, and normal. See, somebody asked him about Chick-fil-A, and he's gay, so, you know, he said, I don't like Chick-fil-A's, I'm not in favor of Chick-fil-A's policies, but I'm kind of in favor of the way they do chicken.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Well, I mean, as you know, Lou, I come from the economic side of this, and you always come from the legal side, because that's where our strengths are. I don't think that anybody really has their finger on the pulse. I mean, maybe because we get to have different people on all the time, there's something really wrong going economically here. Everybody shoots off their mouth about the middle class. Lou, there is no middle class. And it's getting worse. And every guy talks about it, and yet, for God's sake, yesterday, doesn't anybody, in the midst of all this crap with the FBI's treason, we're going to let Uber take over another cab company. They're not even public yet. They never made a dime. And already they're cutting down the field. I mean, why does a cab company have to buy another cab company, for God's sake? I mean, nationwide. I mean, this is insane.
I mean, knowing the competition among ride services, I'm less concerned about Uber taking over than a number of other places.
Okay, but yesterday there was another, biotech place taking over. At the end of Trump's, I'll say 8 years, oh God, in the last 16 years.
Isn't that interesting? That we don't think that there is a reasonable primary challenger to the president coming out of the Republicans right now. I think that's terrifying.
I am too. What am I saying is, Lou?
On the other hand, the president's Mr. Trump's expectations were so low when he entered office. The fact that he hasn't, you know, done something terrible yet, I think is causing people to reassess a little bit.
Well, there's a huge personal price to pay to run against him, because right out of the gate he's going to start calling you gay and everything else. It is a huge personal. You'd have to have somebody you couldn't have a family, I don't think. You'd have to be a lone ranger to a large extent, and with a thick skin. With the lone ranger is dead.
I can think of a couple of Republicans I'd vote for.
I'd vote for Mitt Romney in a nanosecond ahead of this guy. But the point, I would be Republican if Mitt Romney ran.
I'd vote for him. I'd vote for Nikki Haley.
I actually like the guy from Ohio still. I mean, nobody else does.
Oh, Kunich?
Kasich.
Kasich. Not Kunich. Kasich, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are candidates that are out there, but the problem is, and we've talked about this before, in the primary system, you end up radicalizing your candidate.
Right.
Because the people that come out for the primaries are the true believers.
Well, I think somebody has to come out and be, like you said, normal. And if he or she gets his ass kicked, his or her ass kicked, then it's just a sign of the times, Lou. I'm going to say economically, when the history is written of the last, the Bush, Obama, and this guy's administration, if you look at it from an economic, a total sign of it, if a guy like, William Kennedy, who wrote Freedom from Fear, looks at it from the top down, you're going to find out that a society essentially went amok with new contrivances like social media, and essentially was distracted for a period of 24 years while 50 people took over the country. And you'll find no middle class, that every industry has two or three people left in it, like you say, a fascist system, and we're going to wonder what the hell happened to America. And it'll have nothing to do with the politics. You'll have to. You brought this up about this guy here in Chicago. I still think, and I'm not positive on it, Wayne Mattson's going to be on tomorrow, that 8 years ago on the show, he said, everybody thinks in my group that Obama was a CIA plant. how the hell Fitzgerald's stuff got leaked out of the court. It was a divorce stuff. Every place the guy went, the person in front of him basically laid down and died. And now all of a sudden he's still pulling. Somehow or another, there's a man behind the curtain here, and they must think Trump's administration is a joke, because whatever they plan on doing, there's nobody in the way now.
See, this goes back to what you opened with. Watching what happened with Obama and how that guy's career was basically orchestrated very carefully.
Yep.
I understand. I have no difficulty believing there is a comparable entity, force, whatever, operating in Washington that was operating with respect to what was happening with Trump. And it may have been, maybe the wake-up call for the deep state or whatever you want to call it, was his sweeping the New England primaries. But regardless, something triggered that. But this was not a good faith effort to run an investigation. I think
But also, Lou, we got to dash here. But it's the same subject as how did Boeing get back on the front page and now they're the company we do everything for instead of the one we're spanking because they're charging too much for Air Force. There's a massive change in tone all over the place on this stuff. You just saw with the Federal Reserve. Who got to this guy? I mean, this is strange stuff. It's happening right in front of you now. It used to happen behind the scenes. Now you can see it if you're willing to look. The change in tone. Big companies back in charge. The Fed back to giving money back to the same people. Good Lord. I mean, anyway, Lou, thank you very much. Talk at you next week, buddy. Have a nice weekend. Enjoy the nice weather. S&P Futures down 375. NASDAQ Futures down 9. Be right back, Mr. Fariamzi. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com, or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Barry Hamsey with us. S&P Futures.
Good morning.
Down 2. NASDAQ Futures down 450. We have two pieces of news that just came out here. A Trump administration has sued Facebook over discriminatory advertising policies. Something to do with housing, which is interesting.
That's unusual for a Trump.
Yeah, and we also have... China evidently has made some pretty unprecedented proposals on this intellectual property stuff. So, you know, we'll see if
I haven't read the news yet. I'm running late. I just got here at my desk. I do have my coffee with me. And that's about it. So,
well, when you were here, we used to get sandwiches. Just saying.
Oh yeah. I know.
You know that they'd
those
be.
Those are good old days, my friend.
Well, if they're delivered by drone, just tell me to open the window and they can drop it right in.
Well, that's what I propose. Amazon drones coming into you on the ninth floor. All you have to do is withstand that cold air for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I can do that.
And they get, and with a 5G. Remember, Chicago is one of the early for Verizon. It's one of the early cities they got to test. I think it's Verizon and Atlanta. The precision would be so good it will come in. You don't have to reach out. It'll just open the window. It comes in, drops it on your desk, moves out. That's the precision of 5G for you. And if you believe that, we have a bridge for sale for you.
Okay. Well, the...
So, can I have your bid on the bridge, please?
Sure. I'll pay for anything.
Okay, gotcha. All right, there you go. That's a good, true Democrat in Chicago. You just... Chicago Blue. You buy anything. Good. I like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always as long as the fix is in.
Yeah. Well, they say for a 737 Max, it should be in. We'll see.
As long as, you know,
I sure hope
as long as you got a guy.
This thing about the iPad simulation, it's beyond me. This is too much in the, you know, the 2001 Odyssey. Just too much.
Yeah. But, I mean, how you can go.
How can you justify this? We don't have enough simulators. So you're going to use iPad?
They don't have any simulators. Allegedly.
Pardon me?
They don't have any simulators. My guys tell me they don't have any 737 MAX simulators.
I'm sorry. Come again.
They don't have any 737 MAX simulators that they could have the people from Lion Air or Ethiopian Air or anybody go through.
Oh, I thought the issue would be there because they put... That's what I read.
Yeah, that is why they gave everybody the iPad. The iPad.
Where you read what? I thought I read the reason they put the iPads out was that because or the training whatever they call it video on the iPad was because they can't call that the simulator. That because there was not enough simulators for all the 737 pilots
I don't think FAA would have approved it if there were none. The issue was they just it's such a popular aircraft. They've sold so much already. I mean, 300 and something is out, and they have sold something like 4,000, something like that, orders.
Yeah. When they're done with this plane...
I mean, that's why the run rate is 57 a month. It's not a joke, 57 a month. You got 21 working days.
Can you imagine
how many of these you're pumping out a day?
In my research here, I'm going to say within a year, provided they start delivering them again, a year or two, they will have made more 737s than they have combined of every other kind of aircraft Boeing has ever made.
Yes, yes, I would buy that, yes.
Because what do they make 707s, like 600 total, maybe? 727s might have been 1,000
that's
or
really
something.
Changed the world.
Yeah,
well, and then 707 made us bi-coastal, okay? 747 made us intercontinental.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, even though the 707s could get there, 747s did it cheaper.
Yeah, well, you know...
You could fly...
Bill Boeing changed the world. But that's
you could fly Chicago to Rome in a 707.
I'm sorry?
Because you could fly Chicago to Rome in a 707.
I don't know. You can?
You could. I think the N1s, yeah. I mean, now whether you could do it efficiently like a 747 with so many people on it, I think they made a lot more money in a 747.
Yeah. I know 747 SPs were made for Iran Air. We go to New York to Tehran nonstop.
Yeah.
And that's 8 hours of time, 8 or 9 time zones apart.
I think they still have the longest, ability to fly, but the other ones are getting real close and they're more efficient.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the issue. Those made back in the early ones, the problem is efficiency and fuel cost. That's where you have the boneyard. They put them out there.
Yep.
They're just done, yeah. Anyhow. So what else is going on, Chief?
Well, all kinds of it.
What do you think about Brexit? Let's talk about Brexit.
I will tell you that somehow or another, the British people who voted out of that were correct. I don't think I've ever seen, when the book is written on this, I've never seen they go out for an election thinking they're going to win and be vindicated, and all of a sudden they lose. And the people that are in office don't want to leave. So now they've got to cut a deal with another place that has been encroaching on power for, 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
And the people in Belgium really feel that they should be really running the whole continent and telling people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the people in Britain don't want any part of it, or some people don't. And yet the people in Belgium are trying to make it as tough as possible to leave with the hope that they'll say, the hell with it, we'll redo the vote and we'll vote to stay. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. Have you? I mean, it'd be like if California voted to leave the country here, but we made it so difficult and so impossible that all of a sudden 2 years later they had another vote and said, screw it, we'll stay. I mean, the idea that the people in Brussels think they should be telling the people in Britain what to do, I'm too much of an independent to like that. Common market, yeah, that's what British signed up for. But it's getting worse and worse by the year. Now Theresa May comes back with a deal. And the first deal she came back with, I read bits and pieces of it. And the first thing that caught my eye, and I'm going, the Brits, most of the Brits I've met are as stubborn as me. I mean, which is pretty bad. Let me get this straight. I just voted out of a deal.
Mm-hmm,
and the next deal says, which is not that much different really than the deal before, it says I no longer have the ability to vote my way out of it. What would possess me to buy that deal? Whatever it is, no matter how bad it gets, I can't get out. I mean, after I just voted out of the one before. I looked at that and I go, this is a non-starter. And sure enough, she goes to Parliament and she gets, one vote hers? I mean, pretty much. I mean, how is that? And now they keep backing them over, basically, the stool because of Northern Ireland being, I guess, part of still... or Southern Ireland being part of Euro and not Northern. So they say, well, you've got to have border control places between the two Irelands. And that's the lever they have over these guys, evidently. But she just can't bring herself to say, you know what, we are out, and by the way, we're not putting any border stuff there. You've pushed it too far. We're just out. It's a cold Brexit. There's no deal. We'll just see what happens. And you know what? I think they need to do that. So now the UK is stuck in a spot where they don't want any deal she's come back with, legitimately, yet they don't have the stones to say we're out cold. So where does that put you? It's like, I want to learn how to swim, but I refuse to get wet.
right? I mean, it's exactly where they are. And so,
ultimately, it's going to fail.
What's going to fail?
Status quo.
What's going to fail?
The exit. There won't be a Brexit.
So they're going to make it so miserable and people get so tired of it, they're going to have another vote and people are going to say, well, if it's that bad, we might as well stay. I mean, that's what Brussels obviously is hoping.
Well, right, remember, right, the buyer's remorse right after the first day, the very, very first vote 2 years ago. I think it was June 28th, 29th,
but 2016. But who were you listening to? You weren't listening to the voters. They spoke.
Let me say this slowly this time, yeah. Young man, okay? Remember right after the vote, everybody they talked to, they said they misunderstood what the vote was. This is not what they intended.
I think that they selectively...
That's what I read. Okay? Remember the hedge guys were wrong? I know you're going to tell me, well, when was the last time hedge guys were right or whatever? But remember... All the bettings were showing that it's not going to pass.
Okay.
And it did.
And then
afterwards, people came back and said, with a number of people, I don't know if it was statistically valid or not, but saying, we misunderstood the vote. We misunderstood the question, yes or no.
I'm going to say, Fari, unequivocally.
You don't recall that?
I recall it, and I'm going to say, all the stuff I read afterward, because I read a lot about the stuff, and there was a couple people that did postmortems on the polling and everything. Doesn't make me an expert, but I'm going to say out of all the stuff that you basically heard from these people, I'm going to say bullshit. The same people they talked to in the polling before in London are the same people they talked to after, and those are the people who voted to stay. Because the people in London got talked into. I had a couple of sources over there, and I won't reveal them. One of whom went over, and it's a he, and he was over there on business. He was in London. And he talked to people, and he thought this thing, there's no way they're voting out. But he's also a historical sort of dude. So he went down to, what's the port? Where they got all Trafalgar's flagship and all the other stuff down there. And what's the port?
Dover?
South.
That's not a port. Portsmouth?
Yeah. He went down there, and all of a sudden he started talking to people 15 miles out of downtown London who were all talked into the fact that there won't be any financial jobs or anything, we vote our way out of this. He said, the minute you got out of London, everybody wanted out. Everybody wanted out. And not even close. And I was reading that the somehow or another, in the polling, they do the same thing here.
Well, it's no different than here.
No, but
everybody in the Senate, out of a lot of things we've done in the past,
yeah, but you
think it's wrong, except the two coasts.
But you know what's different? Somehow, and I have no idea why, Fari. Maybe Manny can, I don't know, or he can't research it in 2 minutes. Somehow or another, over there, people, they must live longer in the same place or something, you know. Anyway, here's the trick in the polling.
You mean they don't travel?
No. What I'm saying is somehow.
Or they don't relocate.
Somehow or another, they, you know what they do here is they don't relocate. Is because people here, when they give a poll, it always says a survey of voters likely to vote. Correct.
Right. Right.
Well, over there, what they found was they had a 10 or 15% of the people who voted had not voted in like 20 years.
Huh.
And they you know, maybe they don't care about the local elections, whatever, but they must still live at the same place. They must still be quote live voters. There's no way that those people were polled, but they voted. It's sort of like, you know, the some of the Trump kids in some of the areas. A lot of those people never voted before.
Yeah.
They're people you're never going to poll, right?
Right, right, right?
So the idea that you could go interview the same people in London, they had remorse, sure. They thought they were going to lose their job in the financial industry. But that's not who voted. I mean, or maybe they did, but you know what I'm saying? The after polling was just as flawed as the before polling, is what I'm saying, from what I've read. So, I mean, yeah, but I mean, why? I think if it was me, I would call Brussels bluff and say, I mean, and Theresa May should go back and say, okay, you bleeps don't have the stones to go for any deal that I say we can get. These guys aren't moving any further. Guess what? We're just going to go cold and see where it lands, and I'll start negotiating with these guys tomorrow after we're gone. And if they don't want to talk to us, we'll talk to the U.S., we'll talk to other people, we'll cut trade deals. And somewhere along the line, the people at Brussels are going to wake up and realize that they're the part that went over the fence last and not us. I mean, right? And by the way, we're not doing border checkpoints in Ireland. Screw them.
mean, but they obviously don't have the stones to do that. But I don't see a middle ground here, do you?
No, no. It's a binary.
Yeah, or we're going to go back and have another vote, and you've beat up the people.
There is no, how can you have a compromise here? No, especially after 2 years. So many wounded people.
So what if you go back? What if you go back and vote, and the same people, only more of them, come out and say, we told our government to do something, and they can't do it. We mean it this time. What if it wins again? Then what?
Yeah. Oh, of course. That's the downside.
Sure.
Of people who are trying to keep this, I put this in quotes, managed, you know.
Yeah, well, we hit a guy, and from the, there was a whoever those guys are in the Brussels Parliament, and he said it's all a case of the British politicians not explaining the thing right to their people and managing their people. As soon as I heard that, I'm like, it's just...
Oh, gee, that must be new.
Yeah. Let me get this straight.
The 400 years history of not explaining what they really mean or want.
Yeah, I mean...
That's how they rule the world, you know?
Well, that's right.
It's called MI5 and MI6.
Well, yeah, and so let me get this straight. When I elect a politician, his job is to manage me? I don't know if that's exactly what I'm doing. At least here you don't think you're doing that.
Well, back
maybe
then you didn't have the news situation we have now. So. Well, people didn't even know what was going on anyway. Now, every corner, there's another source. So.
Well, another
and his own English on it. So.
Although, you know what? This is the
sorry about the pun. No
this
pun
is, this is the discussion. But, you know. This is the discussion I have with the Matt Webers of the world. And by the way, Matt Weber is not somebody who argues about it. Even though we have some half-assed self-source, everybody with a phone, the fact is there is a lot less actual news reporters than there were 15 years ago. So the idea that there's way more news now than there used to be is totally flawed.
I agree with you.
There's
a lot of it is manufactured.
Yeah.
Most of it is not fact-checked.
Right.
You know, you need to have a drum beat going on and they think you're absolutely real. Look at the Drudge Report.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, maybe I get more of it from the right-wing side. They're more screwed up than the left. If somebody would put a fact in one of those right-wing rags, not that there aren't left-wing rags, there are, that fact has the speed of light. I'll get it in 15 different tweets from people in an hour, and I'm sitting there going, if you pull this one fact out that isn't really even a fact, there's nothing here to write. Everybody takes everything that somebody says as gospel.
But you need to really... Here's our problem. We don't have enough time. Okay, we're overloaded. You really need to look at all sides. You really need to make sure that you are sweeping like a radar. Even the left has its own bias. They can't say we don't have bias.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
You know, what I try to do, I've got two TiVos. Okay, recording news at preset times, but across two different spectrum. Okay. Now then I have a compendium of. Programs recorded after the market or early in the morning, I can catch up and see whether the right said, whether the left said. It's just too much going on right now. And then those you don't need, you just delete and save the space and go to the next one. But there is constant news on both sides, and a lot of it has got errors. A lot of it has manufactured data in there. It's not the Brinkleys and the Cronkites of the world out there we used to have. At least. We accepted them back then for what they told us, whether it was correct or not. But we accepted them. Now, what we have more than anything else is their self-doubt in a lot of our news sources. And that's...
I think there's a difference, you know, and Matty can opine in on this because he probably knows more. I think there was a difference, Farah, in that it was 15 minutes a day. I guess the national news was a half hour. And it, the networks, even though everybody, you know... What did Tom Selleck say in Blue Bloods? When you're over 18, the minute you open your mouth, somebody knows your agenda. You know, that's probably true. But I honestly believe, more so, not 100%, that the networks essentially coughed up 15 minutes a day or half hour a day to actually just give the news. And even though they would rather have the ratings on their station at 6 o'clock versus the other guys, the competition, I think, was... in news, you know, and the guy being at least considered to be truthful, Walter Cronkite and those kinds of guys. But now, when you're talking 24 hours, it has nothing to do with news. It's ratings. It's entertainment.
But you have 500 channels.
Yeah, now you have the best looking women, the best looking guys.
The other day, I was just surfing into Netflix, and you know, I've had this subscription for years. I hardly go there. Maybe I go for some special item, just like a Prime Video. That one I can't get on the TiVo that I missed recording. I want to go back to see if I find it. There's so much in there now. They've created so many things I didn't imagine. There's a document series on, you name it, on documentaries they've made that into series, okay? And why? Because they want your eyeballs. They want you to justify their, right. In case of Netflix, it's a justify their subscription fee you pay and not going away, not changing to something different. And then you look at the cable. They want your eyeballs. And so,
well, sure.
So just imagine what happens these from between commercials. What's in there? Is there really news there all the time? I don't think so.
Well, we've been contacted.
A good example was last weekend.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Good example was last weekend. As the Mueller report came out in between Friday night letter and then the two-page letter, whatever, one-page letter, one-and-a-half-page letter, notice, and then the actual interpretation, what I call bar memo, not a bar report, but bar memo on Sunday. Look what they feel in the air in that 2-day period. Actually, they brought people back in to do the 24/7 they were doing only during the week, and they were kind of had the weekend off. They brought them back. This is, they're just filling the hours. That's all they're doing.
Well, but it's all entertainment. I mean, it's not. I mean, we've been contacted by a station here in Chicago, we'll go nameless, and they're like, "Hey, we love what you're doing. We'd like to put you on, but by the way, you're nowhere near liberal enough." And I go, "Well, I don't try and be liberal. I don't try and be right. I try and have people on from both sides, and we actually give somebody some knowledge." And they, well, that's not what we want. We can't sell that. I'm like, okay.
Well, there you go. There's evidence of their bias.
Yeah.
Each side has its own bias. We all do. Even me. Even you. Whether as much as we care not to, we do.
Well, my bias is, I absolutely want.
I have
the
a
truth
bias.
Out there.
I like Paul Blanc.
Well, okay, but I want people to not be oblivious to economically what's going on around them, because I think some pretty serious things are happening. Both market-wise, people-wise, and if we don't get to the bottom of it, if we don't understand what's going on, if we let our Federal Reserve guy come out and give us a lot of BS about the federal funds rate when he's essentially eviscerated the federal funds rate, when we have people talk about inflation, now the Fed has observed. You know what they're doing now? I was reading yesterday, actually, Steph sent me a missive that the Fed is now going to have a 2-year study where they actually go out, open up the limousine door, and go out into the public. They're going to have people study what inflation really has done to them, and are their numbers correct? For God's sake,
Farry. Oh, wow, that's a first.
For God's sake, Farry. How could they not know how screw up their numbers? I got 5 pieces of paper in this office.
Well, they don't go shopping.
Well, yeah, I mean,
personal shoppers.
But I mean, you look at the gross numbers. And I have stuff in here. Some of it ends in 2014, and some of it ends, you know, there's more recent studies. But take the, for instance, just pick a year.
Yeah.
Let's say 1982, pick or 80 or someplace. And if you look at the CPI number, and again, I'm just talking off the top of my head because I didn't dig through my notebooks and find this stuff. But I actually put them all in notebooks instead of hanging around the office. You look at, for instance, a CPI since 1982 is probably up, I'm going to say 300%, something like that. Stuff's 3 times or 2 times, 2.5.
From way back then. From the value of index back then.
But if you look at healthcare, it's like 2,000%. You look at.
How about the school tuition?
Oh, tuition is totally off the chart. It's like 1,500. Where you look at this and you go, wait a minute. these aren't even close to what we're talking about. You know, tickets to any kind of professional event, sporting event.
Oh, forget it.
I mean, we're off. You're totally off. And why they don't see that? I mean, these guys are supposed to be smart. And Milton Friedman went through this stuff. This is 40 years ago, for God's sake. You pour money in the system. It's never even, because you never hear a Fed say, "Here's what we're going to do. There's not enough dollars out there. We're going to every dollar you got in your pocket. You can go over to the Fed tomorrow, and they'll give you a $2 bill instead of a $1 bill."
Yeah.
Now, if they said that, guess what? Nothing would happen different. The cup of coffee, instead of being $3, would be $6. My salary would double. You'd do nothing. But the point is, when you have inflation, some people get it first. In this particular time, it's not going to the masses. It's going to the asset prices. You think that there's no correlation in the last 9 years, 10 years now pushing it, between what the Fed has done and the price of professional sports franchises, the price of stocks, the price of buildings downtown. You think there's no correlation between that money pouring in the system and those things going up?
Of course.
I mean, how does anybody who has one course in economics not realize that there is?
Yeah, sure.
But clearly, the people behind the curtain own the sports franchises, own the buildings, and own stock, right?
Yep.
I mean, duh.
Unproportionate amount of what people do. I'm not sure what the remedy is. I'm a capitalist.
I think the remedy
long term, this is very bad medicine.
Somehow between. Evening up.
Because we're disseminating. I mean, we're not disseminating. We are not dissecting. We're destroying. That's not a good word, but let's use that. The middle class, and usually in political systems, no matter what persuasion, once you destroy the middle class, the country goes.
You're screwed. Yeah.
Long term. Combination. You go across history over different continents, what have you, and that's sad. The part of that problem is we're not really, especially now, we're not really paying attention to real problems.
No.
We are just replying to what Judge Jeanine or Hannity or on this side. Wallace and
I'm gonna leave you with this for
Wallace and Brian Williams are bringing up.
Right, what I'm saying, we gotta go for it.
They back up their evidence, so to speak, and we're missing what's happening with insurance, what's happening with national debt, what's happening with military, what's happening to food stamps.
Farrar, don't think that's not by design. I'll leave you with that.
No, I didn't say that.
Anyway, SP Futures are flat. Nasdaq Futures down $1. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks. Thank you, Farrar.
We'll see you next week. Yep. Bye-bye.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do at PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. Mr. Matt Werber aboard. Live with David Adelman in a second. Here it is, almost April. The last read of fourth quarter GDP, 2.2%. Just what was expected, and I think that's what the number was before. So trade on that somehow. Or don't trade on that. Probably makes more sense. S&P futures down 275. NASDAQ futures down 750. Dow futures up 8. We're kind of just been wandering around this morning around the flat line, so nothing of any kind of... even though there's a lot of news around, we haven't really gone anywhere. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 29.2%. FTSE up 43.6. CAC around up 3. Call that flat. Over in Asia, we got a big dump on the Nikkei down 344. So they were down 600, up 450, then up again, and now down. So 21,033, the whole number. They probably haven't moved much in the last 5 days. Shanghai down 27. That's a full percent. Under 3,000, 29.94. Hang Seng up 46, 28,755. But oil down a little bit today. Down 83 cents, 58.58. Brent down 84 cents, but we've still got RBOB gas, so even though it's 4 cents, 185, that's like 50 cents higher in the last 3 months, and you're noticing it at the pump, because I know I am. Gold down 940, 1307. So far, been successful at staying over that 1300 number, but doesn't look like it's heading to 1400 anytime soon, which is what I would like to do that, but so it won't. Silver down 13 cents, 1516. We've got the Trump administration suing Facebook over discriminating housing advertising. I don't even know they did that much housing advertising, but evidently they do. And China now is allegedly making some unprecedented proposals for them regarding intellectual property rights, which maybe even means they admit they know there is such a thing. We'll see how that goes. The guy's going to be negotiating that, upcoming treaty, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, maybe this week, and then coming back here. Hey, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports? A lot of news here. What the hell?
Yeah, 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have one significant crash in the area now after we're off to a really good start to begin the morning commute. On the Dan Ryan inbound just before the Burn interchange, there's a car and a semi involved in a crash that's blocking the two left lanes. One of the I-beams on the Jackson Boulevard overpass was hit and damaged, so that'll need to be inspected now. 95th to downtown is an hour. The express lanes are solid from 47th in, so expect delays coming in on the Ryan due to this crash that's blocking the two left lanes right near the circle.
Manny, the speed limit there is 45. How can anybody possibly crack up that bad to where they wreck a bridge?
Well, if the semi's involved, that could be bad.
You think he was going, what, 70?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I-57's looking okay. Same with the Bishop Ford. Normal traffic volumes on the Stevenson and Eisenhower as they build up. And no accidents to report. Same for the Kennedy. Edens looks quiet. Suburban tollways are all quiet. That earlier crash on Route 59 is all clear. We're actually off to a great start everywhere else. Just coming in on the Ryan is an issue now. Weather today, some sunshine early, could have some showers roll in later on. We'll be mild, similar to yesterday, just a couple of degrees cooler, a high of 58. Then we cool off for the weekend before we warm back up next week. Right now it's mostly clear and 50 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine and some heat, a high of 86. Right now it's clear and 57.
In sports, Bulls continue to tank, and they're now resting guys, shutting down Lauri Markkanen for the rest of the season for fatigue.
Is tank what I'm supposed to mean by tank?
I don't know. I don't even understand what your question is.
If they're playing for something, how many of these guys could play? All of them?
As far as their health?
Yeah.
Maybe. I have no idea. I mean, Wendell Carter Jr. broke something in his hand, so he's probably out.
Right.
But the other guys could probably play. I mean, Markkanen has fatigue.
Yeah.
He's 20 years old. Bulls were blown out by the Blazers, 118-98. Suns lost to the Wizards, 124-121. DePaul advances to the CBI Championship. They'll take on either South Florida or Loyola Marymount. Those teams play tonight. They beat Coastal Carolina 92-87 in the semifinal round. Of course, it's opening day today. Cubs open down in Texas against the Rangers. That's a 3:05 first pitch. Lester versus Minor. White Sox are at the Royals, 3:15 Chicago time. Rodon versus Keller. And the Diamondbacks are at the L.A. Dodgers to begin their 2019 campaign. That's a 2 p.m. Arizona time first pitch. It'll be Greinke versus Rue. And, of course, the NCAA tournament resumes this evening. So looking forward to that. Purdue and Michigan are a couple of local teams that are in action. Chief.
So should I stay up and watch the ending of a game and watch the referees determine yet another close game or what?
It happens every year. Officiating is it's a tough job, and they make a lot of mistakes.
They also have their finger on just which way the political winds are blowing.
That would be a conspiracy. You might be right.
Yeah. David, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Just saying, you know, I watch people travel and literally on the basketball floor, and I watch people run people over, and at the last minute nobody makes a call. It ruins the game in my mind, but it's okay. So what do you make of a lot of news this morning for us to be almost unchanged?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, where do we get this? I got Facebook only down a buck, but are being sued. How can you get sued by HUD? I didn't know they did that many housing ads on Facebook.
I have no idea. I'm not a Facebook person. I go on when I'm alerted to somebody's birthday, maybe three times a year. I don't communicate with it, so.
Maddie, have you ever known housing ads?
I don't examine any ads. I don't reveal any data that I know of, and so I'm not one to ask.
I've seen realtors advertise on Facebook. If that's your question,
but discriminatory housing would be stuff where they refuse to put ads in certain neighborhoods and things like that. I can't imagine they do that, do they?
I would never know. Yeah, I have no idea. I would be surprised if that was the case, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah, it seems like these guys will take any check.
I think they would. You can target your advertisements. They're relatively inexpensive, and they get pretty good results from what I hear. I would be shocked if they turned anyone down.
Yeah, I don't.
I think that's going to be a tough one to prove.
Yeah, I think it might be too. But you can really mess with a place though. Now you don't have to prove anything. Just the investigation. You can rip a place apart.
Well, I think that's what Mr. Trump has been famous for 30 years now, is just immediately throwing lawsuits at people.
Yep.
And it doesn't really matter if there's any grounds for it. Just sue them and disrupt them in any way possible.
And he really does think that the Attorney General is his attorney. It's an odd world.
I think, in all, and not fairness, because I certainly am not backing Trump, but, I mean, he's been the subject on the other side. With all the bankruptcies and all the, you know, terrible debt and, you know, debt going belly up and blah, 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 blah. He has to have been in the books and the plagiarism. So, I mean, he by this time, with all his experience, good and bad, he should probably have a fairly good knowledge of what litigation is about.
He could definitely.
It's somewhat ironic, though, that he would be involved in a discriminatory housing lawsuit. When isn't that what his whole family is built upon? Discriminatory housing.
Well, they got
Queens. Yeah. That's how they made it.
Well, they made his dad was the one. I think they got rent control buildings to not be rent control.
Right.
Which was a brutal kind of thing they did to a lot
of
people.
It's ironic.
I don't know if his dad was the worst. I mean, there were a lot of guys who did that. I don't know. I mean, anyway, I was not. There's got to be books about rent control housing in New York and all the games people played. But whatever. It was somewhat of a bad time, and it was an economic thing that made sense maybe for a little while But you can't. It's like minimum wage. You can't. You can only go so far. You can't. You can't have rent control. You could probably have rent control for a couple of years or for older people, but to say that, you know, the rent can't go up for like two decades. I mean, come on. How do you do that when you're inflating an economy which the Federal Reserve has done a few times in my lifetime? How could your rent be the same as it was in 1975?
Hey, today's price deflator was only 1.8. You believe that, right?
Yeah, I believe that. you know, did you? Steph sent us something yesterday. I'll get it out here for me to tweet out. It's a Bloomberg article. The Fed has now admitted that they don't have that good of a handle on how the inflation is affecting ordinary Americans, and they're going to have a 2-year research project on it.
They should start the research with how the numbers are derived.
Yeah.
And the seasonal factors and test those out over time.
Well, they
should expand the CPI and PPI baskets. That would be a good start.
I would say the first thing you do, and this would solve, you know, I'm going to say 50% of the problem, is bring the medical expenses up to 20% of the economy instead of artificially keeping them at 5 or 6%. I think you would solve a lot of the bad numbers.
I agree.
And if you took education up to where a normal family spends, I think you would solve another big chunk of the problem. And yet,
you factor in sales tax and everything else, and all the things they've eliminated from the consumer basket because, as I've said so many times, beef. Nobody will eat beef because it's high price. And, oh, by the way, pork is rising, so let's take that out, too, and we'll discuss pasta. I mean, come on.
Well, it's funny, David. I've mentioned, we talk about different subjects, but they're all sort of the same subject. And and I was having this discussion with actually an attorney the other night who happens to be, I don't know if he's on the police pension board or somebody knows. Anyway, he's pretty tight with that group. And a real nice guy, by the way, and a real bright guy. I said, you know, sometimes you just have to. It's not really a question of whether people are union, not union, or whether they're city, you know, what do you call it, public employee unions versus not. Every once in a while, there needs to be. And I don't even know how you do this, David. There needs to be a 10 or 15 year look back on a lot of stuff you do in politics and otherwise. I mean, for instance. I don't begrudge teachers, for instance. And I don't know what the raises have been. I'm not an expert on it. I'm going to say they've gotten an average of 3% a year for the last 25 years or something. You know,
I was going to say 4, so we're on the same page.
So you wouldn't really begrudge anybody that, I don't think, except for if you have a 20-year period like we've seen, where all of a sudden the teachers started out at, I'll use really simple numbers, started out at 15 and the rest of the people were at 20. When I say the rest of the people, not people washing dishes, but people who were working in factories and so forth. And that was, quote, the ratio. Not that there was anything sacred about it, you know, that the teacher should make 3/4 of what, but they also had 3 months off. I mean, I'm saying there's reasons for it. But for instance, if those numbers were, quote, fair, right, now whatever the hell that means, and all of a sudden, one group gets the 3 or 4% raise, which you wouldn't begrudge them. But when you say you don't begrudge them, you're assuming other stuff's happening. That maybe other people might be getting a raise too, and that everybody's just sort of keeping pace. But then at the end of the 20 years, you sit there and go, wait a minute. The teachers, you know, some of them are making 90, you know, and the guy in a, well, not all of them, and if they, you know, work the game and they get the masters, they get this and that, they're making 90, and now the guy who was, quote, paying them before, guy or woman, was making the 20 is now making 35. I'm going to say, just as an economist, without admitting or denying, knowing anybody in any part of it, I'm going to sit there and say, this dog doesn't hunt. It's not sustainable. And this is what I was trying to explain.
But how does government or public agencies or, you know, tax brackets or whatever adjust for that? And who's in control of the adjustment?
Well, I don't know how you do it.
You could extend your analogy and say, you know, the average baseball player was making $240,000, and now they're making $2 million.
Well, okay, but the difference is, is when a government allows that imbalance to happen. In other words, if PTI had, you know, say we had 100 people working for us and we had our own pension plan and so forth, and all of a sudden we cheated on the pension plan, like every year, and all of a sudden, people start retiring and then David's supposed to get, you know, $5,000 a month, and guess what? We only got two. Right? Here's two. Like it or lump it. There's a mechanism there. You sue PTI. PTI doesn't have the money. Maybe you'll win the case and we owe you $1 million. And oh, by the way, we don't have $1 million. We go under. There's a discipline to the system.
No, that I get.
Yeah, but on the public side, my point is there's going to be a discipline to the system, but nobody wants that horrible thing to happen.
And it's just a deficit and float a bond to take care of the unfunded pension.
But eventually, most of us that believe that the numbers, you know, pretty much go with you your whole life, whoever you are, there's going to come a time, like I was explaining to this guy, he goes, policemen, a lot of times people became policemen knowing that they maybe didn't make as much in private, who knows, I mean, how the salaries go, that they're knowing that they get to retire at 55 after whatever, 20 years on the job or 25, I don't know what the number is, and that's part of the deal. They were made a promise. And I said, okay, I don't ever want to break a promise to anybody. You know that, David. People, right. The listeners know that. But it's the other people were made a promise, too. My clients, from 2009 on, had saved up a lot of money for their retirement. Obviously, they want me and you to put them in the right stocks or whatever. But they also, the promise was, if they saved that money up and didn't want to be dependent on anybody else, they were going to make 2, 2.5, 3%, not great, in a bank, risk-free interest. Now, that promise got ripped away. So you can't expect that person who's made nothing they could have been an Apple, I understand that part, but that's not the point. They made nothing on their government treasuries or something, or maybe half of 1%. You can't expect that person to then turn around and pay for this guy sitting on a couch at age 57. The numbers just aren't there. Right? I mean, it's not whether the person shouldn't have the promise or whether he's, quote, owed it. We know that. But there's promises being broken right and left in this society right now. And for you to hold yourself out, well, my promise is good. What about this guy's? Well, I don't care about him. I don't care if he's got any money in the bank. Send the check in. Well, guess what? At some point, that doesn't work, David. And I'm saying, what happens when that happens? We're seeing what's happening in the city of Chicago. They just keep raising fees and taxes on everything, and you see people wandering out of here almost as fast as they can in some neighborhoods. You see it happen in some suburbs. What happens when it happens to the federal government? Do they just say, okay, your debt is now 80 cents on the buck? I mean, I don't see how we possibly, when we start lying to people, I mean, we're talking $1 trillion a year, $1.2 trillion. That's running up. Did all these people, is there going to be some guy who runs and is even more of a demagogue than this guy wants to be, and say, guess what? Your Social Security is now 1,000. Like it or leave it. We don't have it. I hate to see us go there, but if we don't intercept it before it happens, I don't know. I mean, where does the state of Illinois go with this stuff?
I get what you're saying. And yet, on the other hand, and I'm not for having whatever it is, $22 trillion in debt or whatever the figure is, and sooner or later some generation has to pay. And I get exactly what you're saying, so I'm not disagreeing with it. On the other hand, and I think what you're alluding to is, where's the break point? When does China or Japan or whoever, you know, England, say, hey, we're not buying any more bonds because it's not backed with anything, and the debt monster is coming home to roost. So, you know, there always is a day of reckoning at some point. On the other hand, I think what it really boils down to, at least for now, I mean, we've had the same argument, you know, probably since Clinton, you know, since there was a quote-unquote balanced budget, or at least that's what they told us. So, and it's been piling up ever since, and the argument has been there. I think the real relevant question is, what is the percentage of the debt versus GDP? If, you know, we could grow the economy an extra trillion or trillion and a half, then maybe adding a trillion isn't, you know, for the long term, it's still terrible, but for the near term, maybe it isn't.
There's a school of thought that's not all wrong that says if you're growing at 3% and your debt is growing at 2.9, eventually you work your way out of it. Now, and you know what, David, on the arithmetic side, I can't dispute that. But if you're lying,
take a long, long, long
no,
time.
No, okay, but that's okay. What I'm saying is, there's a difference between managed debt and if your company is making a 10% return every year like clockwork, and you have half of your capitalization is in debt where you're paying 6% on it, I don't see any reason why you should ever pay it all back. Why would you? I mean,
I get what you're saying.
But the thing of it is, they're lying to us by saying what the growth numbers are. They're inflated growth numbers. And to give everybody a tax decrease, saying that, okay, because of the tax decrease, our tax receipts are actually going to go up. That's such BS, I can't begin to go there. And so,
right, and they're banking on and CapEx, you know, big increases and repatriation and whatever, and I can't tell you the percentages, but a hell of a lot of it's just resulted in stock buybacks.
Well, look at the two platforms right now that we're essentially faced as a voter. On the Republican side, you've got the traditional, totally useless trickle-down theory that if you cut taxes to the guys up top, they will be so gratuitous that it'll trickle down and it will make the GDP, a real GDP of 4%, and if we only grow our debt by 3%, we'll be okay. It's a massive investment, but we're going to give it
right.
to our
investment,
give it,
CapEx. Yeah, that's what they're banking on, and
But now we're going to say we're going to give it to our guys first under the promise that they'll. Now the other side, the Democratic side, says no, we're not going to give it money to those guys. We're going to give money to education, God knows what, on the other end, the idea being that's such an investment in our populace that this education money and all this other stuff, not forgetting the fact that people got their thumbs in it all along the way, and so much of the money goes for anything but education, or people's families are so screwed up they can't be educated in a classical sense. But we're going to do that, and all these people that are now educated that weren't before and know stuff, and they're going to be entrepreneurs, and they're going to create this 4% thing, and we're going to work our way out of debt that way. Both of them are totally unproven. Actually, not unproven. If specific policies and specific things work, I mean, I think the difference between now and after World War II with the GI Bill and stuff, and during the Depression, the investments they made actually panned out, David. I mean, the investment, quote, in Hoover Dam gave you the Imperial Valley, which is where, you know, most people's lettuce and everything else is, not all of it, but the Golden Gate Bridge opened up, you know, a massive commerce between the northern part and the southern part of the state. The Tennessee Valley, these are things that were done. Just winging money at some school project where at the end of the day the people don't know any more than when they started, that's not an investment. I don't know what that is. You know, or just giving a tax decrease to what's his name, the fossil-faced director of commerce. That guy's gonna, you know, he's gonna somehow create 3% growth because he's gonna spread it around. I mean, give me a break. I mean, there's investments government can make. I mean, I'll say one right now. Me. Okay. When my dad was in the Army, he paid Social Security. So when he died, the police force didn't give him crap. I got aid to dependent children. And they paid it till you were 21 then. Now I think they could. So I got like $150 a month. My mother put that in a bank, and that was my Notre Dame education. Now, I'm going to say, from the government's point of view, that was a spectacular investment. That came out to be, you know, whatever, $5,000, and I've paid them back in taxes many, many times over. Okay?
Right.
Now, in that case, it worked fine. Now, to take somebody right now and throw $250,000 at them to go to some school where it's incredibly overpriced, it's a whole different world than the 12 grand at Notre Dame over a period of how many years. Now, is that a good investment? I'm going to say probably not. But now,
right.
but is education a good investment? Should I make it available for this guy to go to where Kevin teaches? And if he was an electrician during the war or something, can I go to attend one of these places and get him certified? Oh, by the way, he can take a few political science and economics courses while he's there. Now, at a reasonable price, is that a good idea? I'm going to say probably yes. So it's, you know, it's hard to have these big arguments where the money's all useless or it's all useful. It actually, some is and some isn't, right?
Right. And who decides?
Well, I think if you put if you have some kind of a look back and say, well, we tried this for 5 years and we want to look at it, I think if you have any kind of a forced look back, somehow you would, both sides of the aisle would sit there and go, wait a minute, this one hasn't worked. I would hope that we still have people that can do stuff like that. This one hasn't worked. Oh man, this one worked twice as much. We should increase this one. If you don't even try, you certainly don't get there. If you try, it won't be perfect, David, but at least you're trying.
The only way that, and I agree with you 100%, but the only way that works is if you have some bipartisanship. And so far, for decades now, it just seems like, you know, maybe back since Clinton, there's been none. Bipartisanship, and all they want to do is, you know, get to the next campaign to preserve their jobs.
Well, I think you're right there, David. Thank you very much. SB Futures now, okay. 50 cents. Very flat here this morning with all this news. We'll talk about it tomorrow morning, Stacks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.